You're listening to CGSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
We're told that after the war the Nazis vanished without a trace, but the battalions of fascists still dream of a master race. The history books they tell of their defeat in 45, but they all came out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died. They say the prisoner of Spandau was a symbol of defeat. Was Hess remained in prison, then the fascists they were beat. So the promise of an Aryan world would never materialize.
So why did they all come out of the woodwork
on the day the Nazi died? The world is riddled with maggots, the maggots are getting fat. They're making a tasty meal of all the bosses and bureaucrats. They're taking over the boardrooms and they're fat and full of pride. And they all came out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died. So if you meet with these historians, I'll tell you what to say. Tell them that the Nazis never really went away. They're out there burning houses down and peddling racist lies. And we'll never rest again until every Nazi dies.
Welcome to another episode of Syrup Moose Radio, your favorite award-winning anarchist radio show. The show is recorded and broadcast on the unceded traditional territory of the Gitxsan and Wet'suwet'en people. We are also sponsored by the Skeena Watershed Conservation Coalition. Look them up on Facebook to see the tremendous work that they are doing. You can catch the show weekly on CICK in Smithers, BC, CJSF in Burnaby, BC, CFUR in Prince George, BC, CKMS in Waterloo, Ontario, CKXU in Lethbridge, Alberta, and around the world on Untidy Radio. You can submit music or reach out at any time by email to radio@themarsh.ca. You can also follow me on Instagram and Facebook by looking up themarsh.ca, or just head over to www.themarsh.ca to see what else is going on. Enjoy the show.
Pipeline that was built to service the province of Alberta over the objection of British Columbia. Cost about $30 billion to build, taxpayer dollars, is not at full capacity. In addition, the capacity of that pipeline can be expanded through additional compressor stations, as well as through, I understand, putting additives into the pipe to add hundreds of thousands of additional barrels of capacity if there's demand for it. We have been quite frank with Alberta and with the federal government that although we never supported the pipeline and we're not enthusiastic about it, we're good team players on Team Canada.
It appears as though we're fucked, my dear. We'll be right back. fucked, my dear.
Hello and welcome to Syrup Moose Radio. I am back. I hope you're doing well. Took last week off. Last weekend was the first weekend in a long time where I straight up didn't have anything to do, and it was awesome. So I decided to take full advantage and check that check out what that was like. That song there, Consequence by Venereal, that is a brand new one from me. That's my side project. And it ties in a little bit to something we're going to talk about later today. But first, I would like to say that this is the first episode I am submitting to a brand new station. I'm not going to call that station out just in case I am incorrect or I get my timing wrong. But it's possible that you're hearing me on a brand new station, and that's very exciting. And if you are hearing me on that station, hello, welcome to the show. And you'll be able to find out what station next week, because I'll do a proper shout out. But this will be a more or less normal episode of the show. I have a ton of music to play for you. This first half of the show is sort of the bigger acts that I've come across over the last week, and the other is a bunch of indie acts that I found searching my way through Bandcamp. So I'm very excited to share a bunch of stuff with you and to chat. So let's have a little palette set, shall we? This one, a brand new one from Bonobo featuring Arouge Aftab. It is called Fire on the Water, and you are listening to Syrup Moose Radio. We will be back after this. Please enjoy. Fire on the Water, Bonobo, here on Syrup Moose Radio. Welcome back. Welcome and hello. We're here. We're back, and we're going to talk about. Let's just talk about some stuff. So the first thing I want to talk about is a few weeks ago. So you may not be aware if you're not from my particular neck of the woods, and that's fine. But here in British Columbia, we have, especially in northern BC, we are in the midst of dealing with a, call it controversial, pipeline project that is making its way through its various stages in British Columbia. I've talked about it before. It's likely not news to anybody, but, you know, that's what's happening. And so in my community of Hazleton, the PRGT, which is the Prince Rupert Gas Transmission, which is the LNG pipeline project that is coming through northern BC, they had established an office here in Hazleton, and that office was vandalized. There was red paint splattered all over it, all over the windows, all over the whole thing. It was a very evocative image. A little bit later, no LNG was spray painted across the windows. It's near my place, so when I drive by it, you know, you can see there's still red paint all over it. And the image is probably going to be the episode image. So if you're curious, you'll find it there. If you check out the album art for Consequence by Venereal, it's also there. So here's the thing. When this happened, it was of course all over Facebook, because up here in the north, that is how we share everything. And what I found really shocking and kind of disappointing is people went out completely unprompted and cleaned this business, this office, and helped clear the windows and all that kind of stuff. And you know, I saw people talking about what a shame it is that someone would do this, and you know, how there's other ways to protest and things like that. And you know, it's interesting, you hear that sometimes when a protest happens, people will say, oh, there's other ways. And what they mean, I think, a lot of the time is there's other ways that don't disrupt me or my life, or in ways that I have to see. And the fact is, there aren't other ways. Now, obviously, I'm not here making any advocation for destruction of property, even if property is stupid as a concept, whatever, it's fine. I'm not here to defend or condemn anybody. I'm here to share my thoughts on what happened. So along with people going to clean, like I said, they were also saying that there are better ways to protest. And it made me ask, my question to that is, are there better ways to protest? Because nothing regarding this pipeline so far should have led anyone to believe that anyone in a position to make a change or to stop this from happening is listening. It has continued to be barreled through. We've even had the implementation of this, you know, public good projects or whatever that Carney is moving. And like at every point where there could have been someone could have been listening, they have demonstrated that they are not. And this is what happens when you back people into a corner over and over and over and over again and ignore their calls to stop over and over and over again. This is what happens. This, and frankly, worse. And I'm not advocating for that, but I'm not surprised to see it. There's been so much anger and frustration from the people who live in this community that this company has been able to barrel itself through and then expects to set up shop in a community that it's harming and be warmly welcomed. Like, I don't really understand that mentality. And I'll say this, like, what I don't feel bad about is, you know, damage to, is this vandalism. I don't feel bad for LNG or the project, which stands to make a very select few people extraordinarily wealthy at the expense of every community along the pipeline, as well as the environment of British Columbia. I can't really bring myself to feel anything other than mild amusement about paint on a building. Like, is that going to fix the problem? Probably not. But it's pretty obvious that people are angry, and angry people will only be ignored for so long. And, you know, the thing about this incident is no one got hurt, which I think is a positive. We're talking about a building. And, you know, it's not even that the building was damaged. No one broke any windows. No one did anything like that. They put paint on a building. You can paint a building. It's not that complicated. And the amount of money that LNG and PRGT has, they could probably airdrop an entire new building to cover up the old building if they wanted to. So, and you know, what's really interesting too, is it didn't touch there, because the building is a shared space and there's a salon next door. There was nothing on the salon. The agitation and frustration was directed fully and completely at this LNG office. And I've been saying for a while, I'm sure I've said on this show, that things are going to get worse before they get better. And this feels like the beginning of that. And like I said, I'm not sitting here advocating for anything. I am simply pointing the fact out that the longer you push people into a space where they feel like they have no options, the larger their reaction is going to be. This pipeline is going to do active harm to the environment, to the communities that it impacts, and the people who get rich, half of them don't even live here. LNG is a Texas-owned company, and we are, and LNG also is touting their part ownership with the Nishka, like it absolves them of anything that's going to happen next, and it's so frustrating to watch. So I don't know. I personally don't really see that much harm was done. Do I think it's going to stop the pipeline? No. Do I think this is the end of it? No. So I'm asking people, when they see things like this, to stop for a minute and think about what it is that's happening. Because you can say that there are other ways to protest. And there are, sure. But, you know, as someone in a Discord server said to me, a protest with a permit is just an angry parade. And, you know, I think that's kind of true. So, I don't know. This pipeline is objectively bad. And I don't know if people think that it's going to enrich them, and that's why they need to support it, but it's not. And as soon as their need for public workers, for local workers is over, you can bet that they will discard everyone. And I would say don't shill for corporations, like even good ones. They're not interested in being your friends. They don't actually care about your community. They care about enriching themselves. I'm not saying that there should not be companies. People can run companies or whatever, but don't pretend that they have any care beyond the immediate enrichment of their shareholders. And in particular, this pipeline. Yeah. So there you go. I wanted to address that. I had posted that online, more or less what I said just now, and wanted to just share that because I think that it's, I think it's important to talk about. I think it's important to acknowledge and to really think about where people are at, because people are struggling and angry. And I mean, this shows that, I think. All right, brand new music coming up now from Boundaries featuring Make Them Suffer. The song is called Torn Wide Open, and I'm sure it will be an extraordinarily chill folk song as we are
known for here on the station. So check it out. Let's go.
The Plot in You, been here before, that Boundaries with Torn Wide Open featuring Make Them Suffer. You are listening to Syrup Moose Radio. This is, we're in the first hour of the show, baby. We're listening to some of the bigger stuff. I got stuff coming up from Loathe, from Protest the Hero, from Mastodon, from To the Grave. I got all kinds of stuff. And then the second hour, we're going to take a look at some smaller acts from the provinces that the show airs in. So you're going to probably hear someone from not that far away from you. Speaking of the small acts, I wanted to, something else that I have been talking about a little bit online and sharing. I recently played a show at Midsummer Festival, which was great. Thank you so much again to them for having me. And, you know, as we reach the end of the summer, I mean, I say that it's the middle of July, but like, you know, the things that are happening this summer are already happening. So I've decided, I think next year I won't be applying to perform at any music festivals. I know that like being turned down is totally part of it. And, you know, I know that there's not an artist listening to this who has not been rejected from a festival. But it still sucks. It still feels bad, and you know that too, right? Like, whether or not it's part of the deal, it still feels bad. Especially when you're applying to like local festivals that you would think would jump at the opportunity to bring in local acts, right? Like that, it tracks to me. And yeah, and it's just been a kind of, it's been a little bit demoralizing, honestly. The other thing too, like, again, this is something I know that there isn't an artist out there who's not dealing with this kind of thing, especially if you're an artist who likes to play live. Trying to find gigs can be really challenging. You know, it depends where you are. Maybe you live in a big city where there is a huge and thriving scene for your hyper niche music genre or whatever, but,